Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't know if you all can see it, but when they play a duet together, they both have these great smiles, and Edward is like tilting his head as he's playing, and it's just so much fun to watch them having fun as they present this offering for us and for God. So thank you all both. We're very fortunate to have you both. So we're concluding our three-week sermon series called Radical Like Jesus. And I have to say, I got to be honest, that my understanding of Jesus really isn't him as a radical. Now, I have to tell you, I also believe over the last 2,000 years, we have domesticated Jesus. I think what he really was about was radical. You think about what he does when he shows up. Think about what he was teaching. Think about what he was saying. It flew in the face of the religion at the time. It flew very much in the face of Judaism. He is saying, I am the one who is sent to save you. But it looks like this, not that. I am the one who was sent to save you, and I'm going to save you like this, not like that. I'm not going to be the conquering hero that comes and saves you from the Romans. In fact, I'm coming to do a different thing. What he was teaching was radical. How he was living was indeed radical. And we've looked at the radical nature of how Jesus prayed and how Jesus cared for others. Today, we're looking at how he shared the good news, how he shared his word. Now, our text comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 5, and you all know this, I'm sure, but it's the story where these guys were bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus, and he's teaching inside a private home, and it's so crowded they can't get in there. And so these guys are so determined to get their paralyzed friend in front of them that they dig through the roof of the building and they lower him down, really almost right at the feet of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine the look on everybody's face when the roof starts to crumble? Because the roofs were flat back then, and that had just tiny little slope to them. And they had beams that were the cross beams that held the roof, and then the inside was filled with material. And it was not unusual for them to go through their roof to bring larger things into their home and then just fix their roof. And so these people are in here. Jesus is seated. They're learning about whatever Jesus was teaching. The roof crumbles, and boom, here comes this guy on a mat that's lowered down. Now, I have to tell you, it's not in Scripture, so this is happening in my mind's eye, but I see Jesus with this really stunned look on his face. Like, what? What just happened? And that's where our text picks up. They have just lowered their friend down, their paralyzed friend down, and Jesus is now looking at this guy who's been lowered down. This is chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, stand up, and take your bed and go to your home. Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." This is the word of God for the people of God. So our text begins with this paralyzed man being on a mat, being lowered down right in front of everybody. Now, remember, at this part in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is something like an early day rock star. Crowds are following him around. Wherever he goes, there's large crowds. And the religious authorities, the Pharisees and the scribes, they don't like it. And we read in the Gospel of Luke that they are following him around, trying to trick him, trying to get him to say things that are blasphemous, trying to hear what he's teaching and say it is wrong. The Pharisees are not happy about Jesus, the rock star, there, that is having large crowds. So this paralyzed man is lowered down in front of Jesus, and he looks at him and he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Now, if you caught it in the early part of that text, he says, when he saw their faith. So it was the faith of the friends that has caused this guy to have his sins forgiven. He sees this paralyzed man and says, "You are forgiven your sins." Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they start kibitzing with one another, right? "Did you hear what he said? He said his sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins but God? This is blasphemy. We got him now." And the text says Jesus perceived their questioning. And Jesus challenges them. And he says, "So that you will know that I am who I say that I am, that I have this authority to forgive sins, I am going to heal this man. I'm going to do it right here in front of you." And he does. He heals him. And the people are amazed. Our text concludes with they're amazed and they said, "We have seen some really strange things today." That's our NRSV, our New Revised Standard, translated as strange things. Others, and I think this is a better translation, translate it as remarkable things. But the people are amazed that Jesus has done that. So I want to go back to what Jesus says when the paralyzed man is lowered down in front of him. He says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now I look at that, I'm like, that's kind of a weird comment. I mean, the guy's here to be healed. He can't move. He can't walk. He's here to be healed. Why don't you just heal him? Well, you need to understand the philosophy at the time. People believed that people were paralyzed or bad things happened to them because they were somehow sinful. People believed, including probably this guy who was paralyzed, that he was paralyzed because of some sort of sin that he has had in his life. That's something we don't believe today, but that was the culture. That was the belief back then. And for this man to be able to get up and walk, he needed to understand that he had been forgiven for his sins. You see, in this one event, the forgiving of this man's sins and his physical healing, you see the good news of Jesus Christ right there. Your sins will be forgiven, you will be healed, you will be made whole. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. He is telling them that I am here and I have the authority to do this. I am the Son of Man and I will heal this person and I have the authority to forgive sins. Jesus is saying to them, to the whole room, I am the one sent by God and I will forgive your sins. And I will heal you spiritually and physically. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in a radical way, has revealed to us, to all in that room, who he is and what he is here to do. And you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know this love. You know this grace. You know this promise of eternal life. What have you done with it? Have you shared it? Have you carried this good news that is available to the whole world out into the world? Do you live your life in such a way that the love of Christ shines through you? Are you willing to share your testimony? Are you willing to share how God is at work in your life? You have the good news of Jesus Christ in your heart. Are you keeping it to yourself? Or are you sharing it? You see, you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell about how God is at work in your life, how you have experienced the grace and the forgiveness that is available to all of us. But those that know Jesus have experienced. We each have a story to tell. One of our brothers has been returned to us from a significant health challenge. Some time ago, Tom Sakala had some significant health challenges, and he was carried away to heaven. And he has returned to share his story with you. And I want you to hear it.
I'm Fran Sakala, and this is my husband, Tom Sakala, and we're here to tell you a true story. Several years ago, my husband, Tom, got very sick. He was in the hospital with meningitis and also developed encephalitis for a period of 2 or 3 months. For that period of time, he was actually in another world. Several times I would come into the hospital, and he would be talking to someone, or I would be sitting next to him, and he would say, oh, there's Grandpa. Oh, there's Mama.
One day, I heard a voice, and I don't know if it was my Father God, my brother Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, but it was a voice that said, I'm sending you back to share this story. My visit with my parents, my grandparents, some of my aunts and uncles, my nephew, was real. I could see them, I talked to them, they spoke to me, I spoke to them. Heaven is real because I heard the angels sing. I heard the trumpets blowing, the lighting, the lights. People asked me, what did they look like? I can't explain it. They were something that you've never seen. It was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. The atmosphere, the sounds, the colors, everything was beyond beautiful, unexplainable. If you know, anybody knows, anybody on the fence, tell them my story. Or bring them to me and let me tell them my story. God sent me back to share this story.
Tom is sharing his story. What are you doing with yours? I freely admit yours might not be as dramatic as having gone to heaven and seen your deceased loved ones and talked to them and have God say, I'm sending you back so you can share this story. Mine certainly is not nearly that dramatic. But I have a story, and I share it. You have a story. You have a story about God in your life. You have a story about how you have experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. In this instant, in this scripture, we see the good news of Jesus Christ embodied in our Savior. He shares it radically. He shares it boldly. You have a story of love, a story of forgiveness, a story of healing, or a story of hope, and the promise of eternal life. Heaven is real. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you have received the promise of being in that place with the God who created you, the God who loved you enough to become one of us and die, that you might receive this gift of love and this gift of grace. You, my brothers and my sisters, you have a story. Go out from this place, share it with your love, share it with the way you treat people, tell it to people so that they too can know the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for Tom, for his willingness to share your story, his story, about his experience. And Father, we ask that you would embolden us to go out into the world to share our story about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ that is available to everyone. Father, help us to be willing to share that, that the world may come to know you and your love and your grace and your forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.